Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Thanks for being with us here today on this Wednesday. Getting closer and closer to a full slate of college football action. And for us, you know, we cover a lot of the local, mainly the state. The action gets started on Friday night as TCU and CU square off. Joining us now to discuss that big game in 2 days, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, can you feel it, man? We're almost there. After all the discussions about conference realignment and new stuff in college football, we are setting our sights on an actual game for the Buffaloes.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it. In fact, here in about 25 minutes, we're taping our coaches' show in the downtown Boulder. So that always kind of signifies that, you know, it's on top of us, because we always do that about 48 hours after the first game. So, yeah, a lot of excitement, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I saw your post, Mark, and that, you know, my quick thinking thought, oh, boy, Mark's not going to be able to do 12:30 with us. So this is why we're doing 12:05. So that's, you know, I'm quick like that, Mark. You can always count on me.
You are sharp as a tack, you know that?
I've been told that a few times. Hey, are you ready to – are we breaking the news? Are you going to break the news at 12:30? Who's the starting quarterback for the Buffs on Friday night?
That is the $64,000 question, and it's still up. My guess is – this is my guess, okay? This is my semi-educated guess, is that Brendan Lewis gets the start, but we see both quarterbacks.
Interesting.
Now, that's just my guess. But you know, yeah, they've been keeping that awful close to the vest. And there's a reason for it. I mean, when you think about it, they've been doing the same thing down at Sonny Dykes. Is doing the same thing at TCU. He's got three different guys.
Three guys could see time.
Yeah, and so it's you know, a little bit of gamesmanship on both sides. You know, one's looking at the other going, well, if you're not going to name a starter, we're not going to name a starter. And so I think that's a little bit what's going on. But, yeah, we'll find out when whoever it is, whether it's number 12 or number 5, whether they run on the field, I'll be breaking the news to the world on, just like my cohort, Brian Estridge, can do for TCU. He'll do the same thing on their radio network, right? But whoever runs out there will say, hey, guess what? It's this guy. But right now, it's you know, like a state secret, both here in Boulder and down in Dallas.
Top secret stuff. Mark, okay, I always wonder about this with coaches. You know, I mean, I'm hearing Harbaugh say, you know, nobody knows what the future holds as far as his quarterback decision goes. When do these guys know? When did Carl Durrell know, or does he not know yet who his guy is?
No, they know. They all know. I'll be real honest with you, real frank with you. I'm not a big fan of this kind of thing, right?
Me neither.
You know, I don't care who the coach is or what the program is. I understand if you've got a heck of a battle going on, you eventually have to name somebody. And I don't know that it makes such a difference that's going to affect the outcome of a game. To me, the idea is, you know what, you schedule them, you play them. This is who we are. We're going to go out and go nose to nose with you. I believe in my guys. And so that's just the way I view it. A lot of football coaches obviously don't, because a lot of them are playing this, you know, this game to keep it a secret from everybody until the game actually starts. And, you know, then at that point, what was the point of the whole thing? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, listen, we pretty much know what your offense is. You're going to try and run the ball some. You're going to try and throw the ball some. You know, there's no, you know, one of these quarterbacks isn't going to come out and levitate, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, we know what's going to happen. And so that's why I've never been a big fan of it, but it is what it is, and we deal with it in the world of sports.
I'm with you, though. Like, and this goes with the NFL and college football, even in the preseason. I like just saying, hey, go with the guy. He's the guy. Go forward with him. He's taking all your reps, and you know, mentally everybody knows that. Outwardly everybody knows that. And if he's not the guy, at some point pull him and then put the other guy in there. I'm with you. I understand it, and I'm not trying to knock Carl Durrell at all, because I think he's awesome.
No.
But all of it, whether it's this situation or Michigan's situation of saying, hey, we're going to play this guy this weekend and another guy next weekend. I mean, come on, go with one guy, and if you don't like what you see, pull him.
Yeah. You know, and listen, let the best man have the job. And, you know, and I understand it, and this has been a very close battle. So I understand you wait, you know, a considerable amount of time. You want to give them, you know, all the scrimmages and as many snaps as you can, then to figure out which one you're going to go for. And even if you get a situation where we're going to play, you're going to see both quarterbacks. I mean, that wouldn't be the first time that's happened. Well, great. Okay, fine. You know what? We decided that quarterback A is going to start, but we're probably going to see both guys. All right, fantastic. And we got to move on. But, you know, we kind of act like somehow, you know, are you making a choice between, you know, some third-string guy and Tom Brady? No, that's not the way this works, right? I mean, they're both competing. We understand. When they get out there, we know what the offense is or what it's supposed to be. And to me, it's a little bit of gamesmanship. And then you got a game like this where both sides are doing it. So I think it kind of plays into it as well.
Yeah, I'm reading the headline with TCU. They might have three quarterbacks. Heck, might throw six of them out there, man. Just see what happens.
Right. Yeah. So, but then again, you know, there's that old line that if you got three quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's always interesting to me. You would think at some point when you're talking, I understand when you got a one-on-one battle like we got here at Colorado. I don't think anybody has a three-on-three battle, for goodness sakes. You know, one of those guys is going to pull ahead at some point in time. You know, the Duggan kid is quite a bit of a more running quarterback, and then the Chandler kid, who I think is going to start for TCU. I mean, he looks like he's not so much a runner, more of kind of a traditional quarterback. But you would think somebody is going to rise to the top, but, you know, maybe not.
Well, Mark, let's talk about this TCU team. I'm looking at the spreads, and again, you can only take so much from this first weekend, but TCU opening up, at least according to ESPN, as 13.5-point favorites.
Don't understand it at all. And by the way, it started out as like a 7.5-point spread.
Yeah,
why? So what's going on there? Why is that exploding?
Know.
That I guarantee you, that's raising some red flags around the country. I guarantee you. And I'm talking about the people that pay attention to that kind of stuff. Mm. Something seems very odd there to me about how that number has stretched that far without any major. You know, it's one thing if you hear, you know, the Green Bay Packers all of a sudden on Friday afternoon aren't going to have Aaron Rodgers. You understand why all of a sudden the spread explodes. What's happened to cause that? That doesn't make any sense to me, especially considering you're talking about a Boston was 4-8 a year ago. TCU was 5-7 a year ago, and they got a new coaching staff. I mean, where's this concept that somehow on a Friday night they're going to come into an electric Folsom Field and boat race Colorado? Something doesn't make sense there about that whole thing with Nebrady. So I'm not exactly sure what to make of that, but it just seems rather strange to me that things exploded the way it has. So think about that. If you're a 13.5-point dog, add the 3 points for being on a home field. They're saying that TCU is almost a 17-point favorite over the Buffaloes in a neutral situation. I find that hard to believe, but you know, again, there's a lot in life I don't understand.
Now, all week we've been gathering information from our insiders for whatever bet we're going to play. So, Angel, did you write everything down that Mark just said? Okay, good. That will help us out as we make our decision going forward. Mark, okay, I want to get back to the X's and O's, back to the football in just a minute. But I do want to point, Ralphie, what's the Ralphie progress? Like last year, she wasn't quite ready to go the whole field. Are we going to see, how far are we going to see? I'm excited about that. I think it's the best tradition in all of college football.
She did go the whole field last year. No, she did. In fact, I just ran into Taylor, who handles the Ralphie program, and I said, "How's the girl?" And she said, "On fire." They had her out there a couple of days ago. You know, she's up to 800 pounds now. So she was 500 last year. You know, she might be the only one in Boulder that's gained more weight over the last year than I have, but she did. So she's 800 pounds, and Taylor told me that when they took her out for a test run, she was flying, I guess. So she's ready to roll, and she's coming into her prime now as a youngster, and so yeah, we're excited about that.
Mark, wasn't there at least a game though where she didn't go the full field, or was that some kind of a dream that I had?
It must have been one of those. You know when you eat 18 pounds of bacon and you have those meat sweats and those coma induced meat sweats you have. It must have been something that came along that line because she ran. I don't think there was a game she didn't run. I'm trying to think if there was a game that she didn't run last year. If there was any issue, remember the first game she came out was phenomenal, and I don't think she had, you know, in terms of running the normal pattern, you know, they normally run down to about the 30-yard line on the other side, right in that area. And I think she pretty much did the full field last year every time.
Maybe we had like a half a yard off, and that's where where I'm going with it, Mark. I'm just looking
at precise as you are, huh?
If you don't run that extra yard, I'm going to say it's not the full field, apparently. Well, it wouldn't be the first time I got something wrong on this show. Let's look again. You know, what do you – you talked to us the last couple of weeks, you know, about some of those key bullet points to look at for the Buffs. I'm getting excited about the wide receiver core to see, you know, what this group can do regardless of who that quarterback is. But how about on the defensive side of the football? As you talked about when we were at the Front Range Huddle, you're replacing some pretty good football players. I saw Nate Landman jumped on with Atlanta, too, so I'll be curious to see how that goes. Talk to us about the defensive side of the football and how maybe they can make a huge impact on Friday night against TCU.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I think I said this when I was on with you from Blake Street, that, you know, I think they've got great depth up front, and so that group's going to have to put some pressure on opposing quarterbacks. The linebacking core, even losing Carson Wells and Nate Landman, I like the athleticism of that group. So I think, you know, guys like Quinn Perry, Josh Chandler, Samita, who came in from West Virginia, Robert Barnes, Marvin Hamm, those guys. I like that group a lot. There's a good-looking group of athletes. On the back end, they're young. But I'll tell you this. The last couple of weeks, I thought early on in camp, they were showing their youth. I think that group's grown up a little bit. And by the way, they're going to have to, because TCU's got an All-American, preseason All-American receiver, who I think is outstanding. And so they're going to be challenged. But that group's coming along back there. They're very athletic. And they're good-looking athletes. They just don't know what they don't know, right? And so they've got to grow up from an experience standpoint. But the raw material's there. And so, you know, if that was an area I wondered about early in camp, certainly you still don't know until they get out there under the lights. But they've learned a lot during this camp. I think they've done a good job of coaching that group back there. And so that'll be something I'll be watching very early. TCU likes to throw the ball a lot. They'll be tested early, I think, in this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm getting so excited for this one. I cannot wait for Friday night. Big time. ESPN, everything. I mean, this is an opportunity here. And again, it's one game, but this is an opportunity for Carl Durrell and company to kind of at least silence a lot of those doubters, at least for the week being. In the Pac-12, the media side of things and the coaches' polls, like they're not favored. They're not looking, you know, as far as the voting goes and all that. And I know Carl Durrell says all the right things as far as, hey, we don't pay too much attention to it, but I do kind of use it. I mention it to my players, and this is what they think of you. And I kind of found that response last week refreshing from Durrell saying, yeah, we mention it, definitely, because there's a lot of coaches that say, oh, I don't even know what the internet is. I've never even looked at anything like that.
I know, which, by the way, is a total lie when guys say that. They all know what's being said out there. And so, listen, you can't hide that stuff from your team. It's out there. They see it. They're more adept on social media than you know, coaches and guys no matter my age are. And so they're going to see that kind of stuff. They know what's going on, so don't hide it from them. Talk to them about it. Say, guys, this is what everyone's thinking about you. What do you think about you? How are you going to attend to your business? How are you going to approach these games? What are you going to do with your performance? I think that's a great, you know, I'm not so much into the motivational aspect of it, because I think that lasts up until the ball's kicked off and nobody remembers it. But it is, I think, it's a mindset as you're moving forward about, okay, there's a lot of doubt about this. How can I improve myself to alleviate that doubt out there? And so I do think there's value in that in some respects. But, yeah, I think Carl has got a real chance. I mean, I think Carl's doing a great job building depth in his program. They've got athleticism. They've got some playmakers out there. Now they've got some youth, and that's something that's got to grow up. But you know what? That they can do that very, very quickly. I think they've got a great opportunity coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. Mark, what time do you get rolling with everything? I love following all your other stuff, too, outside of the game. You know, talking like you're talking to Coach Durrell here in about 10 minutes. I love that stuff. But when do you guys get rocking and rolling on Friday night?
6 o'clock on the Colorado Football Network in Denver on 630 KHOW around the state for our various affiliates. And then we'll be out at Franklin Field for the first hour and, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And we get back to the booth and kick it off just after 8 o'clock. So really looking forward. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Can't wait, man. Love your calls. Keep them up. Keep up the great work. I'm excited for another season to hear Mark Johnson as the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes.
And I look forward to talking to you next week when we unpack a little bit. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
All right, my man. There he is, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. I thought Ralphie had a game where she didn't go to, I guess, the 30. And I'm not like, I don't go to every Buff game in the history of the world, but I could have swore there was a game. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I made that up. Maybe I didn't know she was only going to the 30. So I thought, she didn't go the full field. I thought she, but again, 800 pounds.
Yeah, it looks a little different running on the field at 500 versus 800 pounds.
She's ready to go, man. I love that tradition.
It is so cool.
It is awesome. Listening to Mark, do you feel more confident about CU maybe covering, maybe winning on Friday night?
I say I'd feel more comfortable with them covering. Obviously, the quarterback decision is big, but as he explained, that, you know, it's quarterback, whatever. Whoever goes out there is going to play. So, you know, excited. Don't really know a lot about this Buffs team, but just looking forward to see them out there. Like, you can't beat Friday night in Folsom Field. Lights are up. Crowd's going.
Yeah. And that's my problem sometimes with this, Angel, is we get reporters on. We get, I don't know, I guess they're the same thing, but insiders. Like, Mark works for, not necessarily, I guess to you, but the radio network that is the voice of the Buffs. So, I mean, his job is always to put the Buffs in a good light. Now, again, Mark is pretty critical. He will be critical when they deserve criticism, which is what I really appreciate about Mark. But that's my problem as I get these guys on and I start believing too much as opposed to just taking some information, but not a lot of information. So Mark's got me excited right now, maybe thinking the Buffs pull off an upset.
You never know.
I mean, he's shocked at the 13.5-point spread. Just shocked. And he's thinking, you know, he said it started out at 6.5 or something, and now it's 13.5. What's with the leap, man? I mean, CSU's Michigan's went up at least 4.
Might be people putting more money on TCU.
There's all that magic that goes into the gambling. Because Clark will tell you, Clark Johnson of Clark and the Coach, I mean, he knows his stuff when it comes to the lines and everything. And he'll tell you, hey, a lot of times it's what it is. It's people going in a different direction on the bets. I don't know. We make our picks on Friday. I'll make all my picks. I'm 0-1, but I guarantee you Monday when we talk, Angel, at 11:05, we will be discussing me absolutely destroying a 500 record. I will be well over that between my 5 picks this weekend. 5? 4. It's a 5. It's 5. We are throwing Wyoming and Air Force in there. Decided to. What did you think of my Twitter poll last night, Angel? I don't know if you saw it. I just said, I want to ask everybody what you're more excited about, which team you're more excited about watching this weekend. And a lot of votes on this. CSU, CU, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, or Air Force. I did not put Wyoming in because you can only have 4, you can only use 4 slots there. So I decided to stay in state. And I did get one comment that put a Wyoming flag up there. CSU, 64% of the votes. And then Northern Colorado, 20% of the votes. More people are excited about that follow me anyway. CU, 9%. Air Force, 7%. Which, again, go look at that. That'll tell you why I don't talk a lot of Air Force. Because we don't have a lot of Air Force followers, and we could probably improve upon that. But that goes to show you a lot of my listening audience. It's CSU, UNC getting 20%, and then kind of everybody else. But, yeah. It is what it is. I think the CSU thing's very exciting. That's the exciting story of the weekend.
Definitely.
I mean, you're going to Michigan for air raid, new stuff. Ed McCaffrey's been here for a second. So you're excited, but it's Houston Baptist. They should win. Are you pressing the panic button if they lose to Houston Baptist on Saturday?
Yeah. You need to beat this team by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
No excuses.
They got to get off to a fantastic start this season. Go 1-0, and then who is it? Wyoming the next weekend? Oof. I heard Blake Olsen say he's taking the Bears.
Blake had him like 5-0 to start, and then we kind of just stopped the predictions
now,
from there, but
you just
kind of knew where we were going with that. But
undefeated. I was drinking some Kool-Aid at the spring game. I was drinking some Kool-Aid because I gave him 7-8, and I don't know that I'm feeling that now, but the schedule is way easier than what it was last year. And there is Elijah Dotson. Like, that's a big name. How many yards did he have last year? He's Sac State, right?
I think his career high in college, like 1,500.
Yeah, so if he could produce something like that, you're winning games. You're winning games.
From what I've heard from, you know, players in the locker room, from coaches, that he's just a work hard guy. First one in, first one out of the weight room, the locker room, the field. I'm ready to see this dude run.
Yeah, he was another one in the spring game. He and Dylan just played the first sequence, the first series, and then they came out. But they were there for spring practice and all that stuff, which is more important. So we're getting there. We're getting close to that one. Great coaches show last night. Blake Olsen and Aaron Rath did a fantastic job of previewing and breaking down UNC and Houston Baptist. I'm very excited to see what they can do. Some great action coming up Friday night, though. I'm ready for it. That's going to be a blast for with CU, TCU. And I'm starting to I don't know why, but I'm starting to believe a little bit here. I'm believing in the Buffs for a game, at least. I don't know. I'm scared. Help me out. 25 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I love No Limit Collectibles and everything that they're about, man. Buy, sell, trade, sports cards, sports memorabilia. There's no limit to what you can collect. Having a great man cave or the basement or your office or hallway, whatever, just decked out with some of the greatest sports memorabilia, sports memories you can imagine. Stop by No Limit Collectibles and they'll get you geared up and ready to go. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. What do you got going back there?
I saw something out of the corner of my eye and I looked back and there was this little translucent spider just descending. So I got rid of him.
I love when that happens, man. There was a fly in here one time. And again, people think it's a fly. What's the big deal? You're in here doing a radio show inside of a box. Odds are that fly is going to land on you at least 14 times in a two-hour span. That was when I was just doing 2 hours. So it can get distracting.
Breaking Bad did a whole episode about a fly.
Did you like that episode?
I loved it.
I didn't like that. Micah got so mad at me, one of our producers here, because I didn't like it.
You just don't understand the deep writing,
and I just didn't like it. It frustrated me.
The
whole because they're freaked out that the fly is going to get in their cook, right, and contaminate everything, and make everything bad. So that's they're focused on the fly, but there's like all this crazy dialogue going on. It's a good show, though. It's good.
Oh yeah, I need to watch. My roommate started watching Better Call Saul. Heard that was really good too.
I liked it. I didn't finish it yet, but this was in a process where we were moving from our apartment to our house. So a lot of shows got lost in the in-between phases where I just never picked them back up. We didn't have our Dish or DirecTV set up or whatever. But that was one of those shows that kind of got lost that I want to go back to at some point. But who knows?
Yeah. I love Breaking Bad. I had put off watching it for years, and I finally watched it like 2 years ago. Loved it.
I watched it like that a few years ago where I just went all the way through. And that's one of those shows that was probably one of the better television shows ever, but I'm not eager to go back and watch it.
It's a lot.
Because it's depressing, kind of.
It's depressing. I mean, a long, drawn-out story. You have the same group of characters for the most part, and it's just, wow. The development throughout. Ugh.
Yeah. It's like, did you see The Sopranos?
No.
The Sopranos is amazing, but that's Italian mafia, and like, most of the families of the mafia members know what their husbands do for work. It's like they don't talk about it, but they know. With Breaking Bad, it's like you have this chemistry teacher turn drug cook or whatever, meth cook, and it just gets darker and darker as it goes. Breaking Bad, right? With Tony Soprano, he was always bad. So it was not really a shock there. That was a good one. How about you're keeping up on the new Game of Thrones? What is it called? The Ring of Thrones?
House of the Dragon.
The House of the Dragon. I want to see it so badly, but I have 4 million outlets.
It's pretty enjoyable. It's only 2 episodes in right now, so that's, you know, give it time. But it's weird because this story is told in the books, so everyone kind of knows how this story ends, and I'm trying to stay away from the spoilers and who dies, who marries who, whatever. But it's interesting. I was skeptical, but I'm enjoying it so far. And I think this Friday, the new Lord of the Rings show comes out on Amazon.
I have Amazon, so I can actually watch that. I'm excited about that. That's going to be a good time.
Not a big Lord of the Rings guy.
I loved Lord of the Rings in high school.
I enjoy the movies, like the first three. I never got super into them.
I was all into the movies. Loved the movies, loved the books. Still into it all. Not as much as I was. Game of Thrones, though, like the TV show versus anything Lord of the Rings produced outside of those last two seasons of Game of Thrones was way better. Way more compelling. Just the threat of death at any point is just absolutely thrilling to me. So Game of Thrones became better, and then they ruined it with those last two seasons, and then it's like, okay, let's see what Lord of the Rings ruined The Hobbit. So we're nerding out a little bit. It's fun. Speaking of Nerd Now, I just I asked you if you knew about Andre Miller and, you know, what he was to the Nuggets. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted out 20 minutes ago that the Nuggets are finalizing a deal to hire Andre Miller as the new coach of the G League Grand Rapids Gold. Sources tell ESPN. He played 6 seasons for Denver. Feels like he played a lot more than 6 seasons. I saw George Karl was like the first one to like that. George Karl loved him some Andre Miller. That guy would play even if he lost his leg, George Karl would find a way to put him in. So I just tweeted this out, Angel. It just made me think, because Andre Miller, I think, does he fit in the category of a random Nugget?
I'd say so.
Like, there's Joker's not a random Nugget. Alex English is not a random Nugget. Dikembe Mutombo's not a random Nugget. Random Nugget, decent player that kind of, you know, made a name for himself at one point. I got a lot of comments on this, and I just think it's interesting. You brought up the Birdman, Chris Anderson. He became the Birdman with the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went to Miami and won a championship.
Just, like, random Nuggets from past, like Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallows.
Lawson I had mentioned.
Another random Nugget. Okay, let's read some of these. Kobe says, Raif LaFrance. Kenneth Faried. Is Kenneth Faried, he's a random Nugget, huh?
Yeah, he was one of those guys. Like, you know, he was with Denver and he had the hair, the manimal, all of that.
So, like, 10 years from now, we'll go back and go, that was a random Nugget. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I don't know if he's even a random Nugget, though, because he was kind of historic, too. Fat Lever. I don't think he's a random Nugget. He's one of the greats. Bryant Stith. Julius Hodge. Now, that is digging deep, Sam. Good work by you. Julius Hodge was the most random of Nuggets that you can get to. Jeff says Michael Adams. Probably a random Nugget. My dad met him. So people always ask me, like, how I got involved in sports, like wanting to do a radio show. We drove from small town USA, farm town, to come watch Nuggets games and Broncos games in Denver all the time. We would listen to the radio, to the talk radio, all the way up, all the way back. We'd, you know, take turns reading the Denver Post. Obviously, the person driving wouldn't read the Denver Post. And we would immerse ourselves in Denver sports. So we went to a lot of games. We didn't go on a lot of vacations. We spent money on games. My dad took me to so many games. And this was, I was obviously too young to experience this one. I didn't go. My dad brings my siblings. They're much older than me. And he brings them to this game. And my dad just finds ways to meet professional athletes. It's crazy. I'm a media member and I don't meet the athletes that he does. So my dad's sitting there. They decided the game's over and they're just hanging out. Like, my brother didn't want to go home. They're just, like, loving. I think it was McNichols Arena at the time. They're just loving it. And they're sitting there waiting. The stands clear out. Everybody's there. They're like the last ones there. Janitors are now cleaning up the seats. And they're still sitting there. Michael Adams, like, pops his head out. And I don't know if he's going to go shoot hoops in the gym or what. He sees my dad with my brother, two sisters, and my cousin. They're all little kids. So they're cute. They're adorable. He goes, "You guys are still here? Do you want to check out the locker room and everything? Go check it out." And my dad's like, "Okay." They all get up. My dad ends up sitting down in the locker room just talking to Michael Adams for like 30 minutes. And then they get up and leave. It's absolutely crazy.
So you're saying you should stay late to games?
Stay late. Stay late or...
until they kick you out.
Yeah, until they kick you out. Maybe. I don't know if they'll do that anymore, but it was fascinating. And so Michael Adams, I'm glad you bring that name up. Kind of a random Nugget. James Posey. Ronaldo Balkman. Yes. Vashon Leonard. Another very random Nugget.
About Wilson Chandler.
Is he a random Nugget? I don't know, because they were a playoff kind of team with Gallo. Like, I put Gallo. Gallo might even find himself is he a top 20 Nugget of all time?
That's fair.
Wilson Chandler. Maybe. Maybe at some point he becomes a... Will Barton. Is Will Barton going to be described as a random Denver Nugget?
I think he might be.
Maybe.
Just because of the way he went out, it was just... Yeah.
And 10 years from now, we're going to go, yeah.
You were frustrated with him by the time he was gone, so it's whatever.
Like, to be a random player, it's like you were good enough that we remember your name, but not good enough where we thought you were a huge difference maker.
Like, I don't know. That's like maybe
Timofey Mozgov.
Random nugget. Yeah, because he was part of that Melo trade. Lawson was supposed to be big. Like, that was supposed to be a big-time thing. And, you know, that just didn't work out. Blair Rasmussen? Is that, am I saying that one right? Well, I'm a Nuggets guy, so if you throw me for a loop on this one, I should probably know. See what you find there, Angel. When did he play?
Say his name one more time.
Blair Rasmussen. Noob's throwing me for a loop here. Hooligans, we're asking you to dig deep today, man. Ronaldo Balkman, for sure. A random nugget. Thank you. Two of those. Two comments there. I don't know if Kenneth Faried, I don't know if I say Kenneth Faried's a random nugget. He was very instrumental in their playoff runs after Melo. Him and Gallo, like those two guys were huge. Did you find anything on this guy?
Yeah, Blair Rasmussen was drafted by the Nuggets in 1985.
Okay.
First round pick, 15th overall out of Oregon. Went to school in Washington, 7 foot, 250 pounds. Played in Denver for 6 years.
That was a tough one. That's a good one. That's a good one. Shoot me off some random nuggets here on our First Advantage text line. We'll take it to the text line as well. Or you can tweet. Either way, you can do it. I just want to see some of the... I love thinking about this. Oh, how do you say his name? Brian Williams. Bison. Is it Bison Dell? Yeah, he played for the Nuggets. He played for the Magic, too, didn't he? All right, good. All right, are we at the bottom of the hour, Angel? Where are we in the clock right
about
now?
About 10 minutes past that.
Okay, so let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Stupid hot out. It's hot early. It's hot in the middle of the day. It's hot late. It's hot. Don't like it. But get your air conditioning fixed up. Maybe you've been running the crap out of it this summer. Talk to my friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-0798. They are proud sponsors here on all things we do, KFKA, and the whole show. Oh, thanks, John. Bison's last name is pronounced Delay. Bison Delay. Okay, thank you. Popeye Joneses. He only played for the Nuggets for like a year or two, right? We've had Popeye on the program twice now. Little known fact, I collected Popeye Jones basketball cards because when I was little, I looked at the back of cards to see who had the same birthday as me. Didn't care who they were, just wanted to see who had the same birthday. Popeye shares the same birthday as me. So I have a ton of Popeye Jones cards. Costa Kufis. Dixon texting in. I love this. Earl Boykins. Earl Boykins is kind of a random nugget. Eduardo Nájera. Yeah, I think there's a lot of them. There's a lot of random nuggets. You said Faku's going to probably be a random nugget when it's all said and done.
Yes, definitely.
He was a short burst of fan favoritism for a moment and now gone. But I do think that you're right. I think he's going to... A few years from now, we're going to just kind of go back and go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember that guy?
Remember that?
He'd have like one good play. He had that one 10-point game. We all went nuts over it.
I thought he was going to be something. It's got to be that guy, Angel. You just said it. You nailed it. It's got to be the guy that you go, you remember that? Who was it? How do you say his name? That's a random nugget. JaVale McGee. Is JaVale McGee a random nugget? Maybe his time as a nugget was random. Then, of course, he was a nugget again. Look at me trying to tell people how they can use the word random nugget. I don't think Fat Lever's a random nugget. He's one of the better nuggets of all time. I love the Eduardo Nájera. Emmanuel Mudiay. I had high hopes for that guy. He couldn't shoot at all, but he could take it to the basket. He just didn't work out. And then they drafted Jamal Murray like the next year. Kind of a Joker Yusuf Nurkic thing where they had to decide who's going to be the guy we want with the basketball in his hands more, Mudiay or Jamal. Okay, we're going to move on from Mudiay. Let's go. Dixon says Nene. He was bigger than a random nugget. Maybe. Maybe
not.
He had
success on other teams. So.
He had a lot of success. Was it Washington?
Yeah.
That was his kind of the main thing. Look at Dixon's just listing every Denver nugget in the history of the world. I asked for it. I love it. Our Method Flow Products poll question. People don't like this question because, Brady, you just got hired. You're freaking out. If the Broncos don't make the playoffs this year, is Nathaniel Hackett on the hot seat next season? He's not done after this year. I'm just saying, will he be on the hot seat next season? Meaning he better rebound. Or is this way too stupid of a question to ask this early?
Yes. But also,
too stupid of a question.
Answer your question with a question.
Mm.
What if they're like one game out? What if it's the last game that
no.
you have to win and you lose by like three?
No, he's not on the hot seat. He's fine. I mean, even if they go like 8-7 and no, they can't win seven games. Jalen Rose. Yeah. Turned out to be all right with the Pacers, right? Yeah, what did they win last year? Was it six games? Denver won six games last year under Victor Fangio. You got to be better than what you did last year. Have to. No question about it. I think they won six, right?
Seven.
Okay, you got to win eight games. You got to win eight. Then that's like you said. What if they miss it by? That'd probably mean they missed it by four or five games, right?
If you want to be in the conversation for playoffs at the end of the year, I'd say 10 at the minimum.
Yeah. I think they need to be a 9-10 win team for us to go, yeah, Nathaniel Hackett's on the right track here. Because if you can't win eight, then what again, Russell Wilson is ready to go now. He's a quarterback that you traded a bunch for. He's ready to go now. Shouldn't he raise all boats to the point where if you won seven last year, the difference between Russell Wilson and Teddy Locke is 3 to 4 games? It's got to be. And if you can't do that, then you got to find a coach that makes it work. I think that if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, save for your scenario where they miss it by like a field goal and they ended up winning 10 or something in a tough division, then okay, fine. But you got to start going to the playoffs, folks. Like, look at the vote. It's 53% say yes, 46%. Let me just say, when are you, 46%, going to stand up and say, I'm tired of not missing the playoffs? Or tired of missing the playoffs? Because you're going for year six here if you miss it, which I suppose could happen. 12:50 the time. We're going to wrap up the second hour on the other side. We got today in the NFL, more on the poll question. More on the Broncos 53-man roster as it's set. Does Russell Wilson have enough firepower? Does he have enough of a supporting cast to help him lead this team to the all-important NFL playoffs? It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. Thanks for being with us here. Great work by the Hooligans on this. Name a random nugget. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the text line, on the Twitter feeds. Yeah. David Thompson, though. Again, David Thompson's not a random nugget. He was one of the greats. That's where I would go with that. How do we get in this conversation? Because Andre Miller's name came up, and that's why. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If the Broncos do not make the playoffs this season with Nathaniel Hackett, will Nathaniel Hackett be on the hot seat headed into year two? And I think the short answer the short answer is yes. It is. New ownership. You traded everything for Russell Wilson. George Payton, I mean, I know this is his hire, but everything I was telling you about this last week, Angel. A couple of people I were talking to in the Denver media said, hey, NFL sources out there are saying Nathaniel Hackett's either going to be amazing or he's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. There's no middle ground. A middle ground coach could probably get Russell Wilson to the playoffs. So if this new strategy of lighter practices and just kind of a different kind of coaching style doesn't take hold, doesn't take off, then you're going to be asking yourself, can you sustain this for much longer? Because, you know, Russell Wilson's, what? How old is he, 33, 34? You probably have 5 years, 5 to 6. You know, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers certainly changing that discussion, but what are the odds we're going to see a lot of 40-year-old quarterbacks? Russell might be one of those guys. He's very dedicated. I'm sure he takes care of himself really well. But isn't every year you don't go to the playoffs considered a wasted year when you have a Russell Wilson? Are they in a championship window? According to Vegas, they kind of are. They're, what, top five, top four as far as favorites to go to represent the AFC in the AFC Championship game. That means they easily think they're going to the playoffs. So, I think that this whole thing, you have to put pressure on Hackett. And I think they will be a playoff team, and this conversation doesn't matter. Now, the long answer to that is what you brought up, Angel, is if, okay, you get to a weird scenario and the division beats itself up and you got one game to get in and you can't do it and you miss out, be disappointed. But I don't think it means Nathaniel Hackett's on the hot seat. But if they go two seasons with no playoffs, so he's approaching it either way. Even if you disagree with me today, if they don't make the playoffs, he's at least approaching it, because then you're saying next season. I've had some texters say next season if they don't make the playoffs, then he is. Well, he should be at least close to it then if they don't make it this year. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. The final hour of the program coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.